Step out of the shadows and into your sunshine. For generations, we have been limited by what society, colleagues, family members, spouses, and friends think that we should be or become. Slowly, we are molded into their best version of us. One day, we look in the mirror and wonder how we became so far removed from our inner light. These are the stories of powerful women and men who broke their chains and embraced their true purpose. They authentically share their most vulnerable moments and how they found the strength to step into their sunshine. Join us as we share our journeys toward breaking the chain of societal expectations for women and men around the globe. Step into a world of enchantment at La Forêt des Lumières, where magic meets mindfulness in the heart of Brittany, France. Unwind with immersive workshops led by master practitioners offering transformative practices to elevate your well-being. Embark on a transformative journey through lush forests and tranquil ponds, where every moment is exciting. Celebration of holistic living. Discover how to regain your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual power to take back your life. Join us at La Forêt de Lumière and awaken your senses to a world of possibility where every moment is an invitation to thrive. Visit www.rachelcoudronevents.com for more information. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to season three of Step Into Your Sunshine. Now is your time to rise and truly step into your sunshine. Today is hosted by yours truly, Rachel Coudron, the owner of Etsy Boutique Coudron's Curiosities and the event coordinator for La Forêt de Lumière Holistic Experience that will take place in France at the end of May of 2025. You want more information there? Please reach out to me. Now, today I have a very special lady with me, and I would love for her to introduce herself.
Thank you. My name's Jen Fisher. I run Mini First Aid Sussex, which is a first aid company that provides first aid for everyone. We talk a lot about first aid in the family, what's going on in my training team, things like that. And you can find out all about us on our social media, which is always Mini First Aid Sussex.
Yeah, definitely take the time and go check her out right this instant. Now, Jen, we're going to dive in first with this question. What were some of the defining moments in your life that shaped who you are?
So I think for a long time I kind of fell into things in life, like so many people do when they're young and they're not quite sure what direction they're going in. I kind of fell into a psychology degree at uni. I fell into a very safe feeling local authority job out of that. And then at a certain point you get a bit older, don't you? And you turn around and you think, what is actually making me happy? What is my direction that I'm going in? And I started to see other people doing amazing things and kind of chasing their sunshine and finding these defining moments and going, oh, what are my defining moments? I'm just sort of floating like through life here. Then I met my now ex-husband, I got married, I very quickly got pregnant with my daughter. And then it felt like life changed, like it does for so many people, particularly when they become mums and new mums. Had quite a tricky pregnancy. My daughter was quite a poorly baby. It was quite a kind of traumatic birth, and she was in special care and all that kind of stuff. And that for me was such a defining moment because suddenly you are on the back burner. You've got this baby who's so poorly, and everything in life is about them. And you're just trying to like get through the days as a new mum and get her home and get her well and get her through all of the things in life. And then I kind of bopped along through my maternity leave as best I could, trying to deal with all the kind of mental health issues that come from having a poorly baby. And then I went back to work. And that was such a difficult kind of defining moment of sitting there going, I don't want this. I don't want to do this. I've dedicated 15 years of my life to helping other people in social work and social care, but actually I've realized I don't want this. I want something different with more flexibility with a bit more money, dare I say, as well, to support my little one, and thought, you know what, I want to start a business myself. I didn't really know what it was, and then I saw this advert on social media. Actually, I'd obviously been talking, or on your phone's listening and you're talking, and it said, could you start a business teaching first aid to other parents and carers? I'm like, yes, I could do that. That actually could be something I'm passionate about. And then from there, it grew into this amazing thing, and growing the business and winning some amazing awards for myself, and then utilizing that business to be able to do amazing things for my daughter, like get her the dance lessons that she wants. And she's really into her musical theatre and all that kind of stuff as well, rather than floating through life as a bit of a jellyfish.
Thank you for sharing that and giving us a deep dive into your business and things that have helped define you throughout your life. And one of the first things that you say just really resonate with me, which is you fell into things. And I feel like that's so common among all of us that we just fall into things. We, because at such a young age, you're kind of forced to decide on a direction of like, okay, you've reached 14, 15, 16, you need to start thinking about what is your life going to be like. And now looking back at it, it's such a young age to like force us to start making a decision for the rest of our lives. And fortunately for me, I grew up in the US, and so it was quite easy to change directions. But now living in France, I have realized that the education system is very stiff in that once at 15, once you make a decision, it is near impossible to reverse that decision or to go down a different path. And I would love to know your thoughts on this now that things are so much more, we'll say, structured and stiff, and like, okay, you've selected your direction and it's really hard to go in a different direction. Knowing what you experienced and your desire to also change directions once you had started and got into your 15-year career, how do you feel about that? Making children make decisions at such a young age.
It's really tricky, isn't it? Because I think if you're in a situation where you have got clear skills and talents and interests, and you are able to utilize and grow those along with your education, then I think that's fab. I mean, I'm all for my daughter pursuing her dance, pursuing her music, pursuing all of those things, but with no expectation that she may want to use them in the future, just that she finds them fun. And if she decides that she wants to do whatever she wants to do, that's amazing. But I think sometimes there is a push to go in one direction, or there is a push to be kind of steady and sensible, and a push for what perhaps teachers or other adults in your life think you are capable of or think you should be doing. And I can imagine if I had said to my teachers in secondary school or in college or in uni, oh, actually, in X amount of years, I'm going to start this really successful business and win all these awards and put myself out there and do all this stuff. They never would have thought that some of the things I was brewing in my mind that perhaps helped me in my social work career and problem solving and communicating and talking to people and understanding what people want would actually be things I could apply to business. And I think now, certainly in the UK, we do spend a lot of time going out to schools to help with things like enterprise days and like business challenges that the teenagers are doing. And I think that's great. I wish more of that had been around when I had been at school, because maybe I would have understood a bit more about business and how it kind of lit my fire, but I never had the chance to have a go. So I had no idea that any of these skills could be applied to business, and just kind of bopped into social work as well. That's steady, and that's where your skill set should be, as if none of these skills are transferable.
Ooh, I like what you just said. None of these skills are transferable. Yes, everybody in society I find is put into a box. Like you go through school, you're to do this at this time, learn this topic at this time, follow these math steps to finally get to this, to be able to solve this more intensive problem. And you're put into a box of like, okay, we think you should be doing this. This is what society expects of you. These are the skills you need for this job. And then over here, you need these completely or seemingly completely different set of skills, for this other job. And I think that's actually a really important topic to talk about, is that skills are transferable and that the things that I've learned in my life, through my teaching career and the other businesses I've had, also help me become to move and transfer to becoming an event coordinator. Because I know I talk to people, communication, connecting with people, management, those types of things, those are all transferable skills. And so I'd love to know what you think about that.
I think there are so many transferable skills out there, and I think they're so under talked about so much. And people, like you say, oh, you get a qualification and now you can do X, Y, and Z. But actually, there's all the things that you're learning along the way. And I think if you enjoy something as well, you will find the skills that transfer to it. So, my daughter, for example, won't necessarily speak up in the classroom. When she's got the answer to a question, she's really shy. She won't put her hand up and say, oh, actually, I know the answer. But she'll stand on a stage and sing in front of 100 people without a care in the world because she enjoys it. And that's a space where she feels comfortable. And you wouldn't think you would stand on a stage and sing if you don't want to put your hand up in class. But she does because she enjoys it and it's a space that she likes. Like, I was no good at statistics and psychology. That was not a part of the course that interested me, and I would avoid it at all costs. And using the kind of the computer programs to work out what the likelihood is that, you know, something would happen, I had very little interest at all. But that doesn't mean I'm bad at maths. I can manage the money side of my business because it applies to something different. And I'm interested in, you know, how many classes did we run at that point and what did that lead to? Because it's relevant to me and the skill works for me. But I think it'd be easy for people to say, oh, well, you can't possibly do that because you can't do this really mathsy part of this course, as if that is the only element that is useful. And it's so not. And then it just puts people off, doesn't it, doing something. They go, I can't possibly do that. I don't have all of these skills. But actually, if they want to do it, they will find the way that works for them. And that's the good thing about being entrepreneurial, isn't it? No one's breathing over your shoulder going, you have to do things this way. You can find the way that works for you.
Absolutely. I think that's it's such an important topic that we dive into is that people are scared to become entrepreneurs because they don't believe they have all the skill sets that are necessary. Or people believe that they won't become successful because they don't have this skill or that skill, even if they're already entrepreneurs. They just feel that, oh, I can't do that. That's too big for me. I don't have the skills necessary to grow my business to this level or that level or whichever thing. And I love your approach where you can find the skills if you have the desire to be in that space. So, like your daughter being wanting to dance, she and wanting to sing, she finds the skills necessary to be able to have the to be able to be brave enough to sing in front of hundreds of people. And then for me, like I needed a whole set of skills that I didn't think I had when I started my business because it was just an idea. When I went into business with my earrings, it was just like, oh, these would be pretty. And then all of a sudden it morphed into a business. And what was I going to do? And where was it going to be sold? And how was I going to manage that? And then you get all the business side of that as well, and all the money and the management of the money and all of those things. It's there's so many things going on. But because I wanted to have the business, I still do, then I read whatever book, took whatever course, talked to whichever person was necessary for me to develop those skills. And I think that's really important is like when you really, really want something, really, really enjoy it, you are going to put yourself in the path of learning the skill sets that are necessary to achieve.
Absolutely.
I just think nobody that has come on to the podcast has actually really highlighted that. So I think it's really important that we take a moment and just focus on that for our listeners because people that are tuning in is like, wow, I could never start a podcast. Yeah, you can. You can learn the skills that are necessary to be able to create one. And believe it or not, there aren't that many things that you need to create a successful podcast. You just need to have the tenacity to do it, the dedication to get your episodes out, and the connections with people to record episodes. And you're there. You're ready to go. And because when I started, I took a course because I was like, I don't know anything about podcasting, but I really want to do this. And so, and that course was from Lisa Williams and Lindsay Williams, and which are two fabulous other podcast hosts, and they taught me everything I needed to know about podcasting. So if you're out there and you're thinking, I can't do this because I don't have these skill sets, don't let that mindset stop you. If you enjoy it and you're dedicated and you're passionate about it, you will find a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's so true in so many things in life and in business. I mean, we don't beat ourselves up, hopefully, as moms for not having all the answers, for needing to adapt to our children. Like parenting a 5-year-old is very different to parenting a newborn baby. Like we grow and learn along the way, don't we? And we don't beat ourselves up, or we discourage other mums from beating themselves that game. Of course you don't know it all. And then, you're in the playground with mums that are parenting teenagers, and they're like, well, you think you're in for it now, wait until you've got to learn to parent a teenager or beyond, or all of this stuff. And we acknowledge that we need to grow and change with our children, but sometimes we find it hard to acknowledge that we need to grow and change with our business. And my feeling is, with my business, sometimes it shows me where it wants to go. Like it's its own creature, it's like my second child, it's got its life of its own. And sometimes what I think it should be doing is not what it thinks it should be doing. And I just kind of try and go with it. Like we tried to launch this postnatal course that I thought was going to be really fab. Like my whole team are such dedicated, amazing moms, and we could support new moms, do all this. But there's just so much out there. Sometimes it's a bit overwhelming, I think, for new moms. And this course just fell on its butt. There was nothing we could do that was going to make it work. And that's okay. We tried a couple of times and we're like, do you know what? It's just not landing. Right now, it's just not landing. And that's okay. But we happened to have approached a local school about doing an after school club for some of the children. There was a mixture of first aid and our healthy minds arm, so kind of mental wellness for children, thinking this is a really nice thing to come together, because actually first aid becomes the skill, the discussion point that you're learning. But all of these other things like confidence and self-esteem and doing an assembly that they recently did to some of their peers about choking and all of this stuff is also really great around mental well-being as well. And that took off really amazingly. And we were just like, oh, that's just a little, we'll just speak to the head teacher, it's just a little thing. So now I'm looking at the business going, okay, well, unfortunately, the postnatal course didn't go as I would want it to. I'm going to have to knock that on the head. But can I expand this amazing offering that we've had to these children and grow it, out of an open building that anyone can come to and sign their child up? Can we do it during the day for the home ed community? Can we do it for different ages and stages and all of this stuff? And going, do you know what? I can grow this with my business and I can grow my skill set. And I normally think, a bit like you, if I don't have the answer, I'm going to go and find someone who does, or who I'm looking at who's doing it really well. Like when I had to become the front man of my business and we started to get up for some really big awards, and I'm thinking, I might end up on this stage with people who actually really know what they're doing. And I'm not quite sure that I do. And I went and found my friend who's an amazing burlesque instructor. I was like, show me how to stand on stage. Show me how to do these videos when someone's filming, so I can look back at photos of myself and actually be really proud of what's there. Not in a way that we should ever be disparaging about our photos, but I think, well, why the heck not? Why not take a great photo that I can look at? So I did a session with her so I could take a great photo, or did a session with another amazing woman in business who's had a very corporate career about what this whole process might look like. And she's like, oh, well, do a storyboard and do all this. I'm like, yes, great, let's do that. And now I know for next time, because I've been open to that learning and to asking the questions.
Yes, I love how adaptable you've been. This is like listening to you is the perfect example of adaptability and listening to what your intuition is telling you and what is going on in the data in your business. It's like, okay, this program's not going to work. This program, let's give it a try and see what happens. And like, oh, wow, that worked really well. Let's expand it. Like, how is this going to play into my business now? How are we going to change things that's going on in the business so that this can become really successful and we can grow overall? I just think that's amazing.
I think it's so important for people to feel that they can grow their own resilience and that they can start again Like, just, if it's not working for you, if anything in life's just not working for you, just start again. And I think I learned that really early in life. Or like, I'm fortunate enough to have hypermobility, so my joints are a little bit wobbly. And what you tend to find with women with hypermobility is when they go into puberty and then your skeleton starts to move as well, your body just goes all over the place. And I was having some like issues with recurrently dislocating joints. So I just suddenly like fall over in the street and ended up having like a cast on my leg for 3 months or something. And you just think, do you know what? Just start again. Just start again, just do the rehab, think about what you want to do, get out there again and just rebuild from the ground up. Like I remember when I'd had one like really serious injury, it took me up 9 months to just get myself back on my feet. And it was the first time I'd used a self-service checkout and my friends thought it was hilarious. I'm like, this is the best thing ever. You mean I don't even have to talk to someone? I can just go and blip my card and I can do my own like bleeping. Like it was this amazing invention. They're like, yeah, this has literally been going on for like a year. Where have you been? I thought it was brilliant. Yes. And just rebuild again. And I think I've taken that into my business and into my life. Like there's very few things that happen that are that bad that you cannot rebuild if you're happy to just look and have a really honest look, not a look of what you might want to tell yourself, but a look at what's actually working for you, what's actually serving for you, and where you want to go. And just go, do you know what? Let's keep the bits that are working, let's ditch the bits that aren't, and let's just rebuild and build something new and better.
Oh my goodness, that's such an important value to share with our listeners and to the youth. The experience, the new, the growing entrepreneurs, that value of going and starting again, being willing to start again. Because so many people, if they don't experience immediate success, then it's like, I can't do this. I don't have the skills. I don't know how. And I think I'll just stop, give in. I'm done. And I see that in even in my own daughter. So my daughter is going to be 5 in June, and she's a child who I would say is quite intelligent, and linguistically she's very inclined. And when she is struggling with something that's more mechanical, like more of a gross motor skill, then she gets really frustrated. And she's like, oh, I don't understand it. I can't do it. I'm done. And building up that resilience of starting again, you can learn this skill, you can learn how to do this properly, is really important. Because if the children don't learn it when they're young, then they also don't know how to do it when they're older.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we're really tempted as mums to rescue our children a little bit too quickly. And actually, I'm okay if my daughter safely sits in a little bit of discomfort, as in, mental discomfort to be able to work through something. And that process of actually, I know you can't do it at the moment, that's really hard, but we can work through it together and I can support you through that. And my daughter sounds very similar to your daughter. I mean, so my daughter's got hypermobility as well. She's got flat feet. She's inherited that from me, unfortunately. She didn't walk until she was over 2, but she was stringing sentences together at 11 months, which I don't think helped the lack of walking because she would just tell us everything she wanted, like dictate to her staff what she wanted to go on. And so she struggles with some of those gross motor skills and watching her friends doing things that they take for granted, like climbing up a climbing frame or doing the monkey bars. And she can't do that. But then also, she's got a little bit too used to being very cognitive and to having these really great cognitive skills and these really great language skills. And actually, sometimes they don't apply to the classroom. So she's been going through the process of learning her phonics and learning to read. And her teaching assistant took me to one side and told me a really funny story, which is she said to my daughter in this little group, we're going to go and do this little reading group and we're going to learn to read this book. And my daughter turned to her and went, well, I can't do that because I can't read. As if the teacher hadn't accounted for the fact that she can't read yet and was unaware of this. She's like, no. This is the journey bit. This is where you learn to read. And I was saying the same thing to her. This is where you learn to do that. Like, I know it's a bit sucky that you have to sit there and you wish you could read already and you can't, but actually, the learning process has got value to you. So I'm not going to rescue you from it. We're going to sit there and we're going to learn these phonics together and we're going to do this together so that you learn that going through the process is important too. And I think that's what will help her in whatever she chooses to do in the future. Because I meet lots of people, be it in our kind of healthy minds work, be it in my social work career, be it just in life, who actually really don't have that resilience to pivot and who at the first hurdle go, well, clearly I just can't do this then. it's not for me. And I'm going, well, actually, no, it's quite easy to pivot on this. But for them, they're just done because they don't want to sit in that space of discomfort. And actually, they'll often rescue their children very quickly from it as well and go, well, they just didn't want to do that club that one time. So I'm just going to cancel the whole thing. And you think, no, work through the process. There's value in learning to work through things.
Value in learning how to build up resilience. Because it is so important, and it's such an important skill as an adult that I don't think gets enough attention, is being resilient. And whether you're an entrepreneur, or you're in a different field, or you're a teacher, or you're a doctor, like being able to have resilience when something difficult happens in your life, or difficult happens in your business, or your program doesn't skyrocket and sail hundreds of sales immediately. That resilience to say, okay, actually, we need to pivot, or I need to make a different decision, or I'm going to have to buckle down and go twice as hard. Not enough people saw it, so that's why it didn't sell, or, a stream of other reasons of why something didn't go according to plan. And it's, I think it's good to put out into the world about creating resilience in children and in teenagers, because I know for me, I grew up with a family of very creative people. They weren't necessarily like overly creative, where they worked in businesses that were based on creativity, or they talked with all their friends, or everybody knew they were creative. But within the family, I just had many creative individuals. Like, my dad can draw. He is very, very good with his hands, making anything out of wood. Like, anything I could even construct in my mind of what I want him to build, he could just build it. And my mom, if she wants to, she can draw. And she was highly, highly educated, multiple degrees, very successful in her career. One of my brothers, photographer, excellent drawer, just really, really robust creative skills. And then my sister is this like anomaly who, with anything that she touches, that's when she's making something, it doesn't matter if it's like making a grill out of a pot, out of pots, or if it's watercolor, anything in the creative realm, she just touches it and it instantly turns to gold. And it's incredible the amount of skills that she just has like lurking in her fingertips. And so for me, I didn't have necessarily a lot of resilience growing up, because I just felt like, well, they're already better than me. What's the point of trying? That kind of mentality. And it was actually when I, in my senior year of high school, and when I went into college, that I began to develop more resilience, because it was like, actually, now I'm on my own and I don't have to necessarily compete with my family anymore. So what is Rachel really made of? What does she want to do? What is she capable of? And that is where I discovered all of my creativity was actually, it was lurking under my fingertips, but I just never even took the time to look there, because I was just so flabbergasted by the people in my family and their creative outlets that I just didn't even want to get there, because I was afraid of failure.
Yeah, and sometimes afraid of comparison, I think, as well, which is really hard, especially if you're around people that are doing really well, or like you said, your family's really creative, and you'll be thinking, oh no, I'm gonna make something and it's just gonna look terrible compared to all these amazing things that they're doing. And there's that, issue of being so worried about doing something that gets compared to other people that you just end up doing nothing, or being afraid to start, or being afraid to try. And the reality is, you'd never find out what you're good at if you don't have a go and try, some different things. I mean, my parents were always quite entrepreneurial. They were both childminders for a long time. In my childhood, I was kind of running their own business from home. And I think that's where I got that problem-solving approach from, because you've got a lot of parents relying on you guys to get to work. So just because the washing machine's like pumped out water all over the floor, or the car's broken down, or I've got chicken pox or whatever, the business still has to keep running, and we just have to have a conversation about, so what are we going to do to make sure that we can keep this going? And having that kind of work ethic and working out what it is people want and what you're doing that's a bit different, and also what feels right I mean, I know they were doing a lot of things that were quite different from what other people who were doing the same thing near them were doing, in that they were being child minders, but they wanted to really keep this family ethos that was really important to them. And they were really clear on what the boundaries were that they weren't going to break. Like, no, we're not going to do X, Y, and Z. If one kid's going to the zoo, we're all going to the zoo. If one kid's having an ice cream, we're all having an ice cream. And that's what makes it a nice family thing, and really lean into that. And I think that's really come into me in my life and my business. You know, what do I value in my business? And you know, sometimes we get comments about being an all-female team, or a team of moms, or being a little like slightly ragtag clan of like single moms and older women and women with disabilities and all that kind of stuff. But actually, we make it work together because we're really clear that anyone can learn first aid. We've got these really strong team values. Or you know, when we're teaching other moms, it's because we're moms ourselves and we understand where they're coming from. Not that, you know, lots of people can't teach first aid, but I think it's something added that we have that we don't shy away from, that we remember those days when you take your newborn home and think, what the hell do I do with this? You know, what do we do now? We spent all this time getting to the end of, and then you birth your baby and you're like, oh yeah, then I actually have to take them home and raise them for the next 18 plus years. That bit, yeah, that bit as well. And I think we just lean into that and try and avoid too many kind of comparisons and too much looking sideways and too much worrying about what people will think about our efforts, and go, do you know what? The market, the business, life will show us what works. Does it feel good? Is it working? Is it doing what it should be doing? Rather than being so worried about that fear that we just do nothing and don't even try.
Yes, and that's so important. I had to learn that. That was the skill, was like putting on masks. When I started my earring business, I made a promise to myself that I wasn't even going to look at other business owners on Etsy that sold jewelry, because then it was like, well, is mine good enough? Am I going to start copying their designs? Oh, I can't do this design. I must not be good enough. All those types of things. And so that was something I did to sort of protect myself and force myself to grow, was like, I was not going to look at other people's stuff. And that was really a skill that has helped me grow, because now it's like, okay, it's really a competition with myself. I'm very internally motivated, and so it's like, what do I want to achieve, and where am I at, and how does that compare to where I want to be, and all of those things. And I think it started then, back at the beginning, where I set the tone, was like, I'm not going to be comparing myself to other business owners or other businesses or their trajectory or their success. It was like, I'm going to succeed on my own path at my own time. And I found that very, very helpful as I moved forward over the last 7 years. And I think it's a really important topic to talk about with other entrepreneurs, or people that want to become entrepreneurs, or business owners, or you know, any people that are kind of like, maybe they're 14, 15, they want to start a business, but they don't know how. And having that conversation with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, sometimes there is mileage in doing that recon on your competitors, or looking at what other people are doing. But when I do that, I tend to go, oh no, I don't like that. Oh no, there's a reason why I don't want to do it that way. Rather than, I think some people sometimes sit in that space of like almost jealousy, dare I say. They see someone else doing something really well and they go, they make a load of excuses for themselves, like, oh, that's only because they've got X, Y, and Z leg up. Or rather than going, do you know what? Actually, here's maybe the business owners I don't want to be like. Here's where I kind of think I'm at now. Here's my tribe for now. And here's the people I'm really aspiring to, and going, wow, do you know what? That other woman in business, or that other person doing what I like, and it could be nationally or internationally, it doesn't have to be your competitors. Like, do you know what? They're killing it. And I really hope one day I get to that level where I'm killing it too. And I'm watching what they're doing, and I think this is how they're doing it. So maybe some of that I can bring into myself and my business because it feels right for me, rather than just going, oh, well, of course they'd be doing that because, you know, of whatever. I mean, sometimes I look at my competitors in first aid and we go, oh no, we don't like that training style. We don't really like the way that they're doing that. That doesn't feel very true to us. Or we don't really like that social media. That doesn't feel very true to us, we like telling stories of empowerment and stories when first aid's been successful, or maybe this went wrong, but here's what the person learned from it and that kind of thing. Whereas some of our competitors, they're like, if you don't learn first aid, someone will die. And we're like, oh, that's a bit grim, isn't it? I mean, we don't really like fear-based selling and things like that. So we do sometimes look at what people are doing in the market, but try and also stay true to our values. We don't go, well, that's how they're selling, so we have to do that as well, even though it doesn't feel right to us. Because the reality is, if you're putting out stuff on social media or even in your conversations or just in your life that doesn't feel true to you, that's why it will fail, because you won't actually want to talk about it. It'll be like your hidden secret. You'll be like, oh, don't look at that post. I don't actually really like that. Don't look at this part of my business. It actually doesn't really feel right to me. Whereas if it does feel right for you, you'll put it out into the world with all of that amazing energy and vibe, and like you say, going on your own path, going on your own trajectory, because it feels right for you. And I think when I see someone doing something really well, I ask them how they're doing it, rather than like, oh, they're doing this. Like, we like the phrase in my team, stand on the shoulders of giants. So we'll go and find where some business giants, quote unquote, are that feel like they are right for us. And we'll go and kind of sidle up next to them, be like, hey, can we maybe work together? Or is there something we could offer you that would be an incentive for you to work with us? And that's worked really, really well for us in growing the business more rapidly, because we can align ourselves with people who see what we're doing and we see what they're doing. And we just think each other is great. Like any relationship, I guess, extends to business as well, doesn't it? Like in your personal life, and support each other in that way.
You are just full of all kinds of excellent advice for life, for business. I just love it. And I think that is really important to follow your values in business, to align yourself within your values, because so people, they get, they get the comparitis. And they're looking sideways and they're like, oh, we should change, oh, maybe we should do fear-based advertisement for our classes. And then it's like, but then that doesn't feel right. So then I stop marketing and I start talking about it because it's like, oh, that makes me uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden they're totally out of alignment with their values and the things that they hold most important and the things that they view as the most important values to have in their business. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, who is you? From the outside, the consumer starts to wonder, well, who is this person? Because they're presenting this story, but then like when you hear them talk, it's a completely different story and it's not adding up.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why does someone want to work with you? Why buy from you? Why, use you, whatever it is. I mean, there's got to be something about you that they like, whether it's your social media, your vibe, your product, your service, that makes it different from what everybody else is doing. I mean, there's some really big first aid companies in the UK that have got national coverage. They're kind of just the go-to ones. So people think, oh, I need first aid class, I'll just go to blah. And equally, I'm sure some very skilled people locally to me. But I think, do you know what? There's a gap in the market. And I heard something that really resonated with me before, which is we often create the business for the person that we were before. So I've kind of created a business for the mum that I was when I had my daughter, or even when I was pregnant, that I would have bought into. And even in those really early days, I had some of my competitors message me and go, oh, you're acting like you're, the first person to teach baby and child first aid to families where you are. Well, I do this class just down the road from you. And I felt like going back and going, yeah, but I didn't see it. I literally would have given you a non-essential like bodily organ for that class if you had said, oh, it's like 20 quid or something, I would have bitten your hands off. But you obviously weren't marketing it in the work right way, or you weren't marketing it to me, because I didn't see it, I didn't use it, none of my friends did either, and therefore I didn't know about it. It might as well have not existed. So there's the gap in the market that we're going for. That doesn't mean that person isn't servicing other clients and doing other things. It's just, here's the gap in the market. It wasn't for me. It didn't reach me for whatever reason. So actually, my business can reach all the other people that are there. And very often, I think we're so worried about competing for tiny pools of clients, as if there's only like five people in the world that are ever going to use our services. And often there's hundreds of thousands of people that could be reaching us, or that we could be reaching with our product or service, if we just slightly pivot what we're doing and actually say to them, hi, we're here. We're here doing this, and this is why we're awesome, and these are the kind of people that are going to want to work with us.
Absolutely. And you are 100% correct with people creating businesses that often look like the person they were before, or the help or the service or the therapy that they needed before when they were struggling. I know with certainty, my holistic event is born from that idea, is that I don't want people to suffer the way I suffered. And I, for me, holistic modalities completely transformed my life and made me able to be here today, to walk, to lose weight, to have energy. All of those things would have been absolutely impossible without my holistic modalities. And I know that now, but I didn't know that then. And I know that there's people right now, as we're speaking, that are struggling internally. They're struggling with their mental health, their physical health. Maybe they can't walk. Maybe they have depression. Maybe they have anxiety. There's a slew of things that could be going on in their lives. And they think, well, this is the only option. And I've been there. I know what that feels like. I've experienced all of those feelings before, both physical and mental. And I wanted to create that space so that people can be supported from where I was at that point in my life. And so, and I can see that with you as well, as you were, there was a whole gap that was missing from your life and things that you wanted to know, and it wasn't available to you and you couldn't find it. Nobody advertised or marketed to you where you saw it. And so then you were like, well, I need to create this because there's obviously a gap in the market that moms my age or in my area are not being heard or seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing with certain areas of our life is they often gather traction. And what I mean by that is when you start, it can feel really slow and really incremental. And then as you start going, it builds more and more traction, doesn't it? And those changes start to be bigger and bigger. And I found that in my business and reaching out to people, first of all, it's quite incremental. I started, you would think selling baby and child first aid to parents would be really easy. Like, do you want to know what to do if your child stops breathing? Like, well, of course I do. But actually, I got quite a lot of kickback when I started this locally because I did it quite big in terms of social media. I thought, no, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it properly. And people were going, well, I don't need that. Or if I book on this course, it means I'm a bad parent because I'm acknowledging I don't know what to do. It's like, no, actually, a lot of us don't know what to do. No parent knows it all. Just be okay with the fact that maybe you don't know everything, can come along and see what you find out. But then it started to gain some traction, and now it's this really normal thing locally that people do. And I think it's really interesting when you say that some of your listeners might be in a place where they can't walk, or they've got really bad health problems, or their mental health is really bad. And I have really like flip-flop between stages of health in my life. And I think sometimes people meet me now, and if I said to them, like, when I was 21, I couldn't walk for a year. And then I ended up with really bad issues with inflammation as well. So I couldn't talk either because I got laryngitis, and ended up my vocal cords like webbed together. We surgically unwebbed from each other. And people find that really hard then to imagine you like 10, 15 years later being really active in your business. And actually, you just have to start with that first little bit. I would always sit back and go, well, this is really rubbish. This is not quite what I wanted for myself. I had my mobility, I had my health. And now, really quickly, it seems to have kind of got that traction the other way. Like, one thing's gone wrong, and now it's all going wrong. And I've got this whole series of health issues, and I'm not seeming to kind of climb back up to where I wanted to be. And I just had to kind of find that first rung on the ladder. And I guess for me, I was fortunate in my condition that it were always things that were recoverable from, and that I had to just believe that I could go through the process and recover. And I remember seeing a knee surgeon about my dodgy knees, and him looking at my MRI scans and go, you really shouldn't be able to walk on these knees, don't you? Like, these are really not knees that are compatible with people being able to stand on them and walk on them. They're just built wrong, basically, for want of a better word. He's like, just medically, this is just all a bit wrong. But go you for being able to walk on them, because obviously you can. You've like shuffled in here, maybe not perfectly, and accepting the fact there are some things I can't do. Like, I'm never going to run a marathon, and that's fine. That's never going to be my fitness journey. I see people running in the gym, and I go, that's awesome. I'm like, well done you for running. That's not going to happen. That would just ruin my knees completely, even now. But being happy for the place that I'm in, where I've managed to gain my mobility, and I've managed to put in kind of healthy habits that work for me, because I know I need to go to the gym a certain amount of times a week or be a certain amount of active in order to keep my health and, eat properly and sleep, as much as I can and look after myself. Because when you're in your business as well, like you are the golden goose. So if you then don't look after yourself, you find you burn out really quickly, don't you? And then you think, well, damn, now I can't do all the things I need to do because I've overshot it a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. First, I want a massive congratulations to you because I know that if you've been in a really difficult physical health crisis or a situation where you're really limited, it is incredibly difficult to get yourself out of it and to get yourself to the next step. And you're right. So many people now, they see me as I am, and they're just like, I couldn't imagine you ever struggling or ever having problems or not being able to walk upstairs. And I was like, yeah, that was me just not too many years ago. And people need to see that as well, because I think when you're in that space of pain, when you're actively experiencing it in real time, it's like nobody else could possibly understand what my life's like to have to be in bed all day or to cry every night when you got home from the pain of just like your everyday life. And you become in a bubble of like, you got blinders on, they're invisible, you don't know that they're there. But you are in a bubble and you think that this is nobody else will ever understand. And that's why it's important for me and you, of people that are in a better state now, to share our stories, because then people realize that actually this really sucks right now, and I'm really struggling, and I'm trying to get through it. But there are examples of people that have made it to the other side, and that is my motivation to carry on, my inspiration to who the person I'm going to become.
Yeah, and thinking about all those things that you're going to do, your kind of reason for getting through the times that are really sucky. I mean, I remember being in so much pain, orthopedic injuries are horrible, and having to go through the kind of rehabilitation and the physiotherapy to get your mobility back is horrible. There's nothing fun about it. It's painful. There's swelling, there's immobility, there's the time that you're, popping painkillers in the evening just to try and get yourself to sleep because it's really painful. And you're going to have to go back in a few days. And they'd be like, so how far have you got? Not very far, because everything hurts and I feel rubbish and really tired from our last session. I'm not over that yet. But you just get through it because your goals are the other side. And I think then it makes me really grateful for the times when I have my mobility and feeling really confident that things will just work out and I can throw myself into them, because I've come so far in something. Like, I didn't get on a plane until I was 25 because I had spent so much time dealing with immobility that I just hadn't had an opportunity to travel, and my parents never did, and hadn't got to go on like holidays as a teenager or gap years or like parties with friends or whatever. But when I did get on a plane at 25, my first flight was to Australia. My brother was living there at the time. So my first ever landing on a plane was into Hong Kong Airport, which I understand is like notoriously terrible because you basically are into a tunnel, don't you? And then the plane gets like sprayed and everything. And I'm like, this is fine. I don't know anything different. And I literally had to go into the airport and be like, so how does this all work? Because I know I'm a grown up, I've got my passport, I've got my suitcase. Like, where do I go? And the guy looked at me like I was literally stupid. He's like, to security. Oh yes, security, that bit, yes, we go and do that now. I had to sit on the plane and say to people next to me, so when we land in Hong Kong, where do I go? Like, are you staying here or are you going somewhere else? No, I'm going somewhere else. Like, go to transfers. Okay, transfer, yeah. And you just like, yeah, you work itself out, and I got myself there and I got myself back, and it all just comes right in the end, doesn't it? I think it's so important to remember.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have one more question for you, Jen. Is what advice would you give to someone who is trying to find their path in life right now?
I think just imagine where you want to be. What does life look like at a time when it is everything you want it to be? And listen to your intuition about things that aren't working well. Like, it was a really difficult decision for me to leave my job. It was a really difficult decision for me to end my marriage. It was a really difficult decision for me to do all sorts of these different things. But I think actually, a lot of the time, we know the answer is already within us. If we think about what we want our life to be like in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, if you're just brave enough to listen to it, people know what's not making them happy. People know what's not serving them, in my opinion. It's just the fact they're either tuning it out or they're so worried about the process of getting to the other side. They're like, I'm just going to ignore all of this because I can't deal with it right now. But actually, you have to start to unpick it somehow. If not, you're never going to get to the end of that journey where you find your happiness. And, that is very much a journey. I don't think there is a fixed point for anyone where they turn around and they go, well, now my life is 100% sorted and 100% happy. They're always moving and they're always enjoying the journey. And for me, I always move the goalpost for myself as well. I'm always like, okay, so what's the next thing? Like, we've done this now. What's the next thing we're going to achieve? And that's fine because the journey is where you're finding your path rather than necessarily the end point. The end point's just what gives you the motivation to get there.
Excellent. Oh, that's brilliant advice. The whole podcast is packed with brilliant advice. And I love the end and you saying that we know the answer is within us because that is so true. And I always advocate for people listening to their intuition, listening to their bodies, what are their minds telling them, even their gut. Like when you have that kind of gut reaction to a situation, whether that's a person or a dream. There is a gut reaction, and you need to follow it. You need to listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Jen, so much for being on Step Into Your Sunshine. If you want to, please share with us again where to find you so that all of the listeners that just listened to this absolutely fabulous episode can go and find you right now.
Yeah, so I'm Jen Fisher at Mini First Aid Sussex, and we are on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Mini First Aid Sussex.
Thank you. Thank you so much again. And for all of our listeners, we have new episodes dropping every Monday and every Thursday at 8 p.m. And I can't wait to talk to you guys next week and tell you what's coming up.